Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Mark Romig. I am co-chair of the PR and Media Committee along with my father, Jerry, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome you back to New Orleans for our 10th Super Bowl. We're ready to host our perfect 10, and it really is great to see all of your faces here and to know that the next week is just going to be the most exciting time for our city and for the NFL. Our local host committee is here to assist you in any way possible. Those of you who have been downstairs, I think most of you have already seen the setup of the media center, which is just really fantastic. That small float is our home, away from home. That is from the crew of Bacchus. And so please come down and see us, and we can help you with anything that you'd need during the week, story ideas, connecting you with restaurants, you name it. We want to be here to help you make this week the best ever for you. Also want to remind you tonight we have our pub crawl leading out of the Hall H front door, and it'll be a good way for you to see some of the neighborhood establishments. Most of, not all of the media are staying along Convention Center Boulevard, and it'll give you an opportunity to see what's in the neighborhood all within walking distance. And, of course, tomorrow night is our great media party at Mardi Gras World. Again, it's within walking distance. You'll be going right out the front door of Hall H, taking a left and then another left, and you're at this great party along the riverfront. Look forward to hosting you there. We're going to go ahead and introduce you to our special guests that will be with you for the next several minutes, and each of them will have an opening statement, and then I'll moderate some questions from the floor, and we'll start. Let me just tell you who's with us today. I think all these individuals probably need no introduction, but let's go ahead and start from my right. Of course, our great mayor, Mitch Landrieu. Next to Mitch, we have the vice chairman of the New Orleans Saints organization, Rita Benson LeBlanc, Jay Cicero, the president and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation and executive director of the host committee. And then we have Mary Madeline and James Carville, our co-chairs of host committee New Orleans for Super Bowl 47. Mr. Mayor, I'd ask you, if you would, to make opening comments.
Thank you, Mark. Let me begin by welcoming really the world to this spectacular city, the place that we all call home, that we have an undying and unconditional love for, and I trust that you will feel that when you come visit us in the city of New Orleans as we host our 10th Super Bowl, which is, if my recollection is right, the most Super Bowls that have been hosted by a city except for Miami. And I am just overjoyed to, on behalf of the people of the city, welcome the two teams here, all of the fans that are going to come, and you, the media, who are going to talk about the city of New Orleans to the rest of the world. I really want to begin by thanking James and Mary for helping co-host the committee and for Jay Cicero as the executive director for the heavy lift that they have done, and also to Rita Benson LeBlanc and to Tom Benson and to Gail and the entire Saints organization for the incredible work that they did to bring the Super Bowl here, and to Commissioner Goodell and to all of the owners for having enough faith in us to bring this bowl back here. And finally, a lot of thanks to the people of the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana, and to all of our partners who have worked over the last 2 years to really put on what we hope to be one of the best shows that you have seen in a long time. But the story is much, much bigger than the Super Bowl. This is a story about the resurrection and redemption of a great American city. A short time ago, this city was 15 feet underwater, and it was on the bottom of and last on every list that mattered. And you have watched a people pick themselves up, dry themselves up, and start taking one step at a time to rebuild not only their lives, but to rebuild a community, and to do it in a way that we think is the model for the rest of the country. The Super Bowl gives us an opportunity to reflect on where we've been and where we're going, and to use the Super Bowl and to use sports and entertainment and culture to help rebuild an entire city better than it ever was before. And I trust that as you get through this wonderful week, you will spend a lot of time getting in around New Orleans, talking to the people, feeling our culture, understanding why New Orleans is such a unique and beautiful place. And I have no doubt that what you will come away with is a profound sense that the people of New Orleans have found that very thing that America has been looking for a very long time in terms of resilience and just a can-do spirit to go from where you were to where a place where everybody in the world wants to come and visit. And so I want to welcome you all here. I know that each one of these other individuals will have something to say, and we look forward to hosting you and giving you the best Super Bowl that you've ever had. Thank you very much for being here.
Rita Benson LeBlanc.
Absolutely. I just want to open again with thanking you all for being here and investing your time with us. But it's a great pleasure and honor for my family to host this game. And Super Bowl is always top of mind. It is the preeminent global event, sporting event, and there's no other place that hosts it like New Orleans. Vying for the Super Bowl started well before the Florida owners meeting, where we were actually awarded the 47th Super Bowl. But I cannot tell you how tough and stony those owners' faces were, because I believe they were all biased, and yet how joyous they were when we actually won. After Commissioner Goodell announced no team has won in the first vote as a supermajority, we won in the second. That speaks without saying. I've never seen that happen in my experience with the NFL owners. So we owe a great debt of thanks, and all of New Orleans feels that because of what we went through and what we were able to do to put ourselves back together. My family invested in the city. Every person who came back to New Orleans personally invested. It was very tough for us. And winning the Super Bowl was, of course, a great triumph, but this was one of those things that we've all been looking forward to and working very hard together, because we knew it was something that the entire city and community would put together on our own. Granted, everyone took faith, the Houdat Nation, in terms of the Saints winning the Super Bowl and bringing it back, but we did actually win as a community this event before that happened. And we celebrated at a YLC concert, which is a local volunteer organization, and actually the Sports Foundation of New Orleans, which Jay heads and is a reason why we're such a great city to host Super Bowls, that came out of that program. So every story that you track down, every story that you tell to the entire world is about community engagement, volunteerism, and people who really care and love about their city. It started 20 years ago with the YLC and the Sports Foundation, and we are privileged people to be a part of that hard work that goes behind an event. And it's a miraculous thing to be a part of the NFL and to show what you can do. And some people might think that that's a little Pollyanna or a little bit positive, but it's real. And I think you will be inspired. I think you will be well-fed and love that. And I have a belief that if you feed the media well, they will certainly say good things about you. So we endeavor to do that. I haven't delivered king cakes to everybody, but the set I visited this morning, I definitely brought some food along. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for this. And our host committee, the different layers that go down, all the volunteers, you are representing and messaging an economic development story that means a lot to people, their real daily lives. And we are so proud to have you all here. And now, Jay Cicero.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank the mayor for his leadership in all of the projects that you may have seen around town, from your arrival at the airport to the new streetcar, which opened for business this morning to the general public. Just been an incredible 3.5 years leading up to this moment, and a lot of times people in media often saying, no, you can't, but you know what, we did. And it's been a real team effort. And James likes to say it's my team, and we put together a heck of a team, but it's not. It's our team. And it's been a pleasure to serve in this role, not only under this while this mayor's in office, but with this group of people. James and Mary have been incredible spokespersons for New Orleans. When we signed them on, we had no idea the Saints were going to win the Super Bowl, but it really all lined up, and we were able to start promoting all the great things that were happening here, and they've been fantastic in that role. I'd be remiss if I didn't thank some of our great supporters in the community. Entergy Corporation supporting everything that's happening in the community, including our Super Saturday of Service, which I'll talk about in a second. Chevron sponsoring all of our volunteer efforts. We had over 17,000 volunteers recruited and sign up to be a volunteer, and that's actually a lot more than we've ever than we need. We had 12,500 shifts that are filled by 6,000 of those 17,000 that signed up. I can tell you, serving on the host committee in 1997 and as the executive director for the 2002 Super Bowl, we struggled to get to the 5,000 volunteers that we needed, but there's a whole new spirit in New Orleans, and that spirit is driven by the millions of volunteers who came and helped us worldwide 7.5 years ago and in the years after that. It's just been an amazing turnaround, a great attitude, and like the mayor said, a very can-do place now, which it may or may not have been like that before. Also, want to recognize Team Gleason and Chase and invite you to a press conference Wednesday about that event. Steve Gleason's opening up an ALS center here, and is raising a lot of money, and it's an incredible story and an incredible inspiration to all of us. The host committee has taken on a couple of new events this year compared to what we've done in the past, and maybe compared to what other cities have done. We've started this event called Super Bowl Boulevard. So those of you who were in Indianapolis last year and they had Super Bowl Village, this is an extension of that, except that it's all New Orleans and inclusive of Super Bowl. There'll be four music stages, 15 to 20 New Orleans food booths. The NFL Network's going to be broadcasting live from underneath the pavilion at Waldenburg Park. And the Roman numerals will be on a barge, and they will arrive at 7 p.m. Thursday night on a barge in the river. And, of course, the Roman numerals have the incredible NFL films video broadcast on them and the music. And it's very inspirational and gives you goosebumps if you're a football fan. Our biggest event in the community is our Super Saturday of Service, where we are taking five New Orleans Recreation Department facilities and renovating them. Now, this is a partnership program between the NFL and the host committee, and Chevron Corporation put up a lot of the money, the matching money for the city. So the NFL awards $1 million matching grant to NFL host cities, usually goes towards youth education towns or YET centers. Because we have a YET center, because we've hosted so many Super Bowls here, the NFL asked, what legacy program would you like us to participate in? So still having a large need for NORD facilities, we naturally suggested NORD and putting money towards that. So it's a $2 million overall effort, five NORD facilities, the most exciting of which is a stadium called Harrell Stadium, which I'm told, Archie Manning told me that his kids actually played there, and the mayor played there also. I'm not sure you played against them, but we're going to actually move the Superdome Super Bowl game turf from the dome after the game, ship it directly to Harrell Park and Harrell Stadium, and begin installing it as an incredible legacy program for our kids. So it's an incredible piece of legacy. The NFL was wholeheartedly behind it. And we were very happy that the New Orleans Recreation Department and our youth can have these five new facilities for many years to come.
Thank you, Jay. Mary Madeline, followed by James Carville.
Welcome. And as the mayor and Rita and Jay have already alluded to, there is more than one story in the city here. We're going to have a great game. We know that. But there are so many other things that will interest you for your profession, and you should know, if you probably do know this, Sam told us on the way in that this is the number of media here have is a record breaking, and Mark and Sam and Allison over there and everybody else, I don't want to leave anybody out, but you guys, this is not in my talking points. Mark gives us talking points every day, but they live and have lived for the past 3 years to make your experience incredible. So have an incredible experience. So my point is, this is a wonderful place to have an event like this. It's a wonderful place to visit. We did Mike and Mike this morning, and they said, what do you like about it? You can't even answer that question. What do you like about it? Well, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's 74 degrees, and you're in a T-shirt. So it's a great place to not just have this event, but visit for anything. We have the greatest decision we made in our lives is to live and work here. I was a little concerned about having my girls in proximity to James's college record. Went to LSU for 11 years, but Jay reminded me of the Houdat, that when we won, the day before that we became the Houdat Nation, was the election. It literally, James and I don't often weep over the same things, but Mitch Landrieu was elected, and the reason we've been able to be not just the comeback city, It's not just a comeback story. This is a push ahead. As the mayor said, there are so many models here for the whole country to not just revitalize urban areas, but to push ahead and make progress that is unprecedented. So we hope you get to cover some of that stuff. And we're certain that you will enjoy all of the stuff that we've done. And we, in addition to the legacy and the pushing ahead, we've discovered things. Elements here that heretofore hadn't been noble to us. We're now, you know, we're the LA, we're Hollywood South, we're about to become Silicon South. We've discovered all sorts of techies. James and I still call the internet the interstate. It's beyond us. But there's all sorts of applications that we've developed here with our homegrown developers, and the one they're very excited about is the one they've made for you to help you be able to have the incredible experience that Mark and Sam and Allison have worked these many years. So welcome, have fun. You can get crazy because you can walk everywhere here too.
Thank you, honey. Or more appropriately, you can stumble wherever you have to go. I'm not sure what it is. Again, kudos to Saints, who obviously wouldn't even be here without them, and very professional people to work with, and the mayor and the city have been just delight. I couldn't imagine anything going better, but I'm a little bit reminded of the story that guy jumped out of a 40-story building and was passing the 20th story, and somebody said, "How's it going?" He said, "So far, so good." As I'm passing the 20th story, it looks pretty good, but we got to get till Sunday, and I think everybody feels like we're on time. I'd point out something in this age that dollars matter. In Dallas, put this event on for $38 million. Indianapolis did it for $25. We're doing it for $13. And I wish that I could tell you that it's because we're just so much more efficient when it comes to something like that. I think that is part of the answer, but only part. The truth of the matter is that we don't have to create anything in New Orleans. It's here. It's been here for 294 years. We just have to take what we have, as the mayor does, shine it up a little bit, add a little something here and there. But 294 years of history and culture stand on its own. And our philosophy from the beginning was that we needed minimal intervention. How do you have a place with more history, more beautiful, such a setting, to have an event like this that we have here in New Orleans? And so we are really, really proud of our city, and we're really happy that you're here, and we want you to understand that this is not just a city, this is a culture. That we have our own food, our own music, our own social structure, we have our own architecture, our own body of literature. By God, we even have our own funerals. All right? We do. It's part of our culture. So we want you to enjoy that, and we want you to know that it was a deliberate strategy to let our city that we love so much shine. And we needed minimal intervention, and we don't have to create anything. It's 300 years in the making. So welcome, and from all of us, we're delighted to have you here. We're ecstatic about having this event back. We think it is the premier event in the country. We love hosting it. We're all football fans. I went to the first Super Bowl in Los Angeles with my cousin who lives here in New Orleans now. I was at the first Super Bowl in New Orleans when I saw Hank Stram. Anybody, by the way, somebody, one of you sports writers, tell me how in the hell Johnny Robinson's not in the Hall of Fame. I'd love to know the answer to that sometime, but I'll just let that go because I don't carry grudges. But thank y'all very much, and we do hope that you enjoy not just our city but our entire culture. And thank everybody on the stage for all the hard work.
Thank you, James. We're going to open up for questions now. I would ask that you would raise your hand and introduce yourself and your affiliation, and we'll go with the back first. Yes, sir.
First of all, thank you for noticing that we are doing that. And secondly, it's pretty manifest, and you will see it everywhere in the city of New Orleans. The most immediate thing that an American citizen or anybody else wants to do when they have a near-death experience, like Katrina or Rita or Sandy or anything else, is to grab the thing that they knew, and they want to put it back right away like it was, because you long for that security of the thing that you knew. And you'll see that play itself out in the Northeast. The people in New Orleans did something very different, though. As soon as we could kind of get our equilibrium about us and as soon as we could dry off, we, recognizing that we had a near-death experience, took a moment to look back and recognize that Katrina did not cause all of our problems. It just magnified them. It made them more evident. That which was rich and beautiful was deeper and more wonderful. That which was dark and bad, it was just right there for you. And we as a community decided that we were going to build back New Orleans the way she should have always been. So instead of, for example, putting our healthcare delivery system back like it was, which was a centralized system that had an emergency room where people that didn't have access to affordable healthcare would go and wait for 13 hours to have their son or their daughter's earache taken care of, we decided to transform that delivery system and create 88 primary healthcare clinics where now 350,000 people are taken care of, that will manifest itself, if you want a story, at the St. Thomas Health Clinic on Magazine Street in Josephine, where now every month 300 women are getting mammograms so they can have early detection for cancer. That's a different way that never was. In our school system, there's been a lot of stories about education reform all over America, New York, Washington, D.C. In the city of New Orleans, now a full 80% plus more are in what they call charter schools. We went from having a centralized system of schools to having a decentralized system of schools where there's parental choice accountability. And just a couple of weeks ago, came to learn that these kids in these schools are now outpacing the rest of the nation in graduation rates when we used to be at the bottom of the list. Or the achievement gap between the kids in the inner city and the rural areas have changed. When you think about transportation networks today, we cut the ribbon on a new rail line, streetcar. It was an infrastructure project that wasn't only a private public investment, but it helped leverage $1.2 billion in private investment. Some of you are staying in the hotel, which is the Hyatt Regency, which would have never been built had we not thought about how to do new transportation in the city. There are another 100 examples of how the city of New Orleans, now that you look at it, has completely changed the way it's doing business. And on top of that, we are not now in the business of having Super Bowls just for the sake of having them. So that, as James said, the bowl comes in, it leaves, everybody leaves a little change on the table, and otherwise the city is unchanged. We actually thought about how to use the Super Bowl and everything that was happened to leave legacy projects, as Jay told you, five projects behind, not just one, but now five, leveraged with the NFL, leveraged with state assets, leveraged with New Orleans Recreation Department assets, so that now what's here is better than what would have ever been here before. And so it is a new attitude, it is a new way, and you're seeing a city transform itself. I mean, before your very, very eyes, where I said, you know, early in my opening, we were 15 feet underwater, and on the worst list, on the worst of every list now, we're on the top of the world, and we're beginning to lead the country in indicators that nobody ever thought of, like, you know, the fastest growing city in America, the best place to do business, the greatest entrepreneurial, you know, system that's happened in America. They never used to talk about us like that, but they do it now. And that's a consequence of the people of New Orleans getting their head right and getting focused on what they could possibly be.
Thank you. Brett?
Thank you.
Hi, Brett Martel with AP. The mayor might be best or Jay for this one, but I was wondering, in terms of logistically what you need to host this game, hospitality industry stuff, transportation infrastructure, and so forth. How would you compare New Orleans now to 2002 when, by most accounts, it was a successful, you know, post 9/11 Super Bowl?
I'm going to let Jay hit that one first.
Well, the post 9/11 Super Bowl was certainly a challenge. If you remember, the game was moved or put on hold. And because there was not an off week in between the NFC and AFC championship games, that year, it had to be moved a week later. So the challenge was, how do we move an event that is the size of a Super Bowl 1 week when there was already a citywide convention booked that very next weekend? And so with a lot of hard work by our Convention and Visitors Bureau and by our leadership in Lieutenant Governor's office when Mr. Mayor was Lieutenant Governor, and our elected officials, as well as our organization in the city, we were able to move the event and present that 1 month later, present to the NFL a plan to host Super Bowl and keep it in New Orleans. And the story that year was all about security. I mean, there were tanks on Poydras Street on game day, so it was as secure as it is now, but everybody was a little bit more on alert. The challenges associated with this one were more like, how do we get our arms around everything we want to do? And therefore, with this new attitude about Super Bowl, where we may have taken it for granted that Super Bowls were coming every 4 or 5 years, and that you know, we were going to host them and they were an everyday part of our business, of the city, we made a conscious effort to be very aggressive and to recognize this for the opportunity that it is, to show the rest of the world that. You know, New Orleans is what it is. It's a fantastic city, that we have this can-do spirit, and that we can do anything we set our sights on. This event's not easy to do. It certainly has grown since 2002. The budget has grown. The demands on the cities has grown. The demands on host committees have grown. The number of media has grown from 3,500 in 2002 to now over 5,000. I think we've hit a record now of 5,205, I heard today, and that's a record for Super Bowl. So that presents an opportunity to us to really show the rest of the world where we are, and we really wanted to take advantage of that. So that's been our mantra since we were awarded the event 3.5 years ago is let's make sure with this Super Bowl that there's no stone unturned. We take advantage of every opportunity that comes along, and just getting our arms around that challenge of what do we want to do has been the biggest challenge, and everybody has really worked together to make it happen.
Thank you. And a couple things. First of all, I think if you talk to the NFL, and we certainly agree with this, you have to build from the 50-yard line out. So the first thing was make sure the dome was really kind of kicking. And SMG and Doug Thornton are here. They did a super job of getting that footprint right. Since the last Super Bowl, we have now built out Champion Square. So that entire area is really good. And then finally, from the city's perspective, y'all may not know this if you're not from here, but there's this thing called Mardi Gras. It's the largest free show on earth. You're in the middle of it right now. So on a normal year, we do that without the Super Bowl. This year, we put the Super Bowl right in the middle of it. So if you just got here today, you missed the first weekend of the parades. I'm sorry you did. They were fun. The Super Bowl will be next weekend, and then Mardi Gras will follow that. That's a significant stretch for our public safety folks. You'll see our police officers. They'll be on their feet. Firefighters, EMS, all of the back of the house side of the folks that make these things run will be on their feet between till now and until Ash Wednesday, or let's say until 12 o'clock on Mardi Gras night. So that was interesting. And finally, we wanted to make sure that our infrastructure was in place. So you saw $350 million of renovations at the airport. If you flew in, you saw something new that you hadn't seen before. You saw the renovations at the Superdome, which approximate $300 million. Bob, we're in this wonderful convention center. We cut the ribbon on another $95 million investment on the convention center where you hit. Today we broke ground on a $45 million investment. All of those things were designed not just for the Super Bowl, but in an attempt to use the Super Bowl to build infrastructure so that we could actually do more and do better. And the logistics of it, as James said, if you're on the 20th floor, it looks good. But see, now it's game time, and we have to execute. And moving people is going to be a very interesting challenge for us. But again, if we were able to do it after September 11th under that threat, we feel very comfortable about the preparations that we've made, both from a Homeland Security perspective and just a logistics perspective as well.
Jay Vice, back there.
A question for Rita. This is the second year that the general public is allowed to attend Media Day. This one's going to be at the Superdome. As one of the co-owners of the Saints, what do you think the turnout's going to be by the Houdat Nation at the Superdome for this event and also here at Radio Row?
I think it's sold out. That's what I was hearing. And I have a lot of friends vying for the access. With the NFL, what we strive to do as teams in the whole collective of the league is whether it's having that conversation back and forth with special events in terms of how do we activate further, like the Super Saturday of Service. It's how do you get your engagement and your interaction with the fans as broad as possible. And another reason why New Orleans is so outstanding as a venue is because people can walk around. They're not stuck in gridlock constantly. And also, we're a warm weather city. So you have other cities that it's the festivities of it. The sponsors come down, but there are tons of people who don't have a game ticket that we want to enjoy the experience. And so that was a big part of Media Day and opening up the building. Clearly, we're a national security event, so making sure that the perimeter is secure and the building is safe is of primary importance. but it's just a really strong and powerful way to bring the fans that close to the action. And a lot of them probably won't be able to go to the game. But also the NFL experience and everything that we're doing at Waldenburg Park, that is so that as many people and as many fans as possible who've flown in and are so excited about their teams, that the experience of New Orleans, as James touched on, is you're here. No matter where you are, you're an amazing part of Super Bowl, and you'll have just as much fun watching it in the bars or restaurants or with friends as if you were in the building. It's just different, but connecting them to that touch was very important, and that's why that expanded into doing that.
We have a question over here.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Mark Purdy. I work for the San Jose Mercury News, the Bay Area News Group. You guys, this is the 10th Super Bowl here. And this is for anybody who wants to answer, but James said he had been at the first one here. What is your favorite New Orleans Super Bowl story, the craziest or the funniest or whatever, when people ask, what's it like to have a Super Bowl in your city? Anybody can answer that, but I'm interested.
I bet you've got some good ones.
James can take it.
I don't know if it's a crazy Super Bowl story. I know how relieved I was when Adam Vinatieri kicked that field goal at the end of 2002, and the game ended, and everyone was safe, and we came out with another event that was a feather in the cap of New Orleans. But in 97, of course, Brett Favre being from this area was a heck of a story and a great homecoming for him. And that win that Green Bay Packers had. But it was just the Green Bay Packers fans who were here in 97 were incredible. And cheeseheads running around. And 02, again, everything, the story was not about the teams. It was about security and everything. So this one, I think the best stories are going to come out of this Super Bowl, that's for sure.
At the 70 Super Bowl, I was standing in line with Don Shula to get a Coke at the old Tulane Stadium. You can imagine that happening now. And I guess it was the Cowboys played, I think it was one in the 70s when Dwayne Thomas was playing for them. And amidst all the hype, he said, if the Super Bowl is the ultimate game, let me ask you something. How come they play it again next year? Which I always thought was one of the better observations. But
thank you. I've got a question in the front. Oh, Rita, you want to go?
So in 1997, I was walking out of the commissioner's party, probably at the convention center, and I met Gale Sayers. And I was just kind of blown away, because when I was in high school, they screened Brian's song for us and that kind of thing. And then also at that party, I met Rockin' Dempsey for the first time, and that was quite an experience. And I wasn't living here, so I still have those fond memories. And then in 2002, I walked out of the building with all the fans and walked down Poydras. And it was powerful to see the tanks and the barricades. It was kind of a little bit unsettling. It was just after 9/11, but I knew what we'd done to put it together. And also my grandfather had to pull some strings with NADA so they'd move that convention. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion to put on these events. It's amazing how many people go through the sweeps and the checks and the volunteers and all the people who work in all these hotels, I mean, right now. And so... As I experienced it sort of as a guest, a fan a little bit, with a little bit of inside knowledge, but then understanding the magnitude of it all, I've been really proud. But even some of my experiences when we were working with Alan and Doug on what was most important as far as in the early renovation right after Katrina, as far as the FEMA insurance dollars, everything top of mind was making sure that we were Super Bowl ready. Everything that we could have done to make this building more beautiful was one thing, but if we weren't at the 72,000 to 73,000 manifest, then it was no question that the priority was to be Super Bowl open and ready at any one of those times. And I got a little pass note just to add that there are some tickets still available at Ticketmaster for the media day, so please project that out there so that more fans can experience the field and seeing what it's like, because the preparation really is exciting. You get those goosebumps even though the game isn't on.
Well, the 2002 Super Bowl, I was there when New England pulled it out, but again, for my memories are similar to Jay's, and we're in the business of doing this, so in the spirit of James's admonition about execution, you know, we always get concerned about that and whether it's going to happen, and people need to hearken back to that moment in time where it was the first Super Bowl post September 11th, and the nation was still in shock and did not know what to expect. What I feel from the city of New Orleans, and everybody does this to us. For some reason, you continue to doubt New Orleans' capacity to play at the top of their game. No other city in America was capable of hosting that Super Bowl at this time, and the media seemed to have forgotten that. After we did the NBA All-Star game, or the year before we did it, you'll recall that Vegas had a little trouble. And the first thing y'all wrote about was whether New Orleans could handle it. And y'all forgot that we actually did the Super Bowl post-September 11th. And so when this came along, you said, well, can they do it again? New Orleans has always outperformed expectations on these kinds of events. And that's what I continue to remember time and time and time again. The game itself, that was a very exciting game. It's what led me to pick New England a couple of weeks ago. I did because I was trying to recreate history, but that wasn't to be. Thanks.
Thank you. First row there.
I'm Jay Swinnick at Dallas Sports Source. This question is for Jay and Rita. Considering how intense the competition has gotten year after year in order to land the Super Bowl, and considering how tough it can be to persuade owners to vote for your city, what is it going to take to be sure that there is never an 11-year gap for New Orleans to host this game again?
That's actually a very good question. It really takes an incredible effort during the bid process, and the effort really starts with the Saints. They have to put their stake on the year that the city is interested in bidding. And for all of you, we would like to bid on 2018. I'll make that announcement today. I know the Saints have talked to all the rest of the ownership about that. 2018 coincides with the 300th anniversary, our tricentennial of New Orleans. If we're invited to bid, and the NFL has to invite you to bid, then that process would start this October and end the May of 2014. But it is extremely competitive. I believe that, New Orleans hosting nine prior to this, there may have been a point in time in number four, five, six, where, okay, New Orleans is bidding. Let's award it to New Orleans. They've got everything we want. But now it's an incredibly competitive process, and you actually have to beat the other cities. And that's what we did 3.5 years ago in May of 2009. We beat the other two cities, and we were bidding against Phoenix and Miami at the time. So our offer, what we're able to do, as James said, for $13 million, that Dallas did for $38 million. We beat Miami and Phoenix that year. So when you combine it with everything that New Orleans has to offer, with our ability, with the experience of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, our executive committee, the New Orleans Saints, Doug Thornton and SMG, the city, state, convention center, Bob and his group do an incredible job here. It's a team. It's a team effort, and it is something that you definitely have to be competitive for. So we really study the event, and because the Sports Foundation is year in, year out, and if we bid again, it'll be our fourth Super Bowl, we have a superior knowledge about this event that other cities may not have. And so when other cities have different host committees, if they host it multiple times, if they have different host committees, then it's a whole set learning curve that they have to go through. And so that superior knowledge really comes into play when you're bidding. Plus, we also do men's Final Fours, women's Final Fours. We're hosting that event in April. NBA All-Star Games coming back for 2014. We were the host organization for that in 2008. So having all this knowledge and resources really helps us remain competitive.
I never stop bringing it into conversations, or I'm taking notes. And so I'm with the other owners. It really is 32 decision makers ultimately, but they're influenced by their family. They're influenced by their own decision. And that expertise that the Sports Foundation has, we originated the concierge program for helping the owners, but we have that style for everyone who is involved. And also, we're really good to the staff. We understand how stressful it is, what it's like for our counterparts at the league office and all the other entities that are help putting on these events. So when we're crafting the actual host committee itself, it's making sure that those committee chairs are really going to put in that time and that extra effort to make sure that everyone has the greatest time. So you have to think about those decision makers. But we didn't do a cheap Super Bowl. We don't have the busing bills and the transportation obligations that they would have to do in, say, Dallas or even South Florida is a regional push. And when too many of our sponsors can't get everyone to their corporate parties, they get really upset. And you hear about it, and it becomes problematic. That is why New Orleans is so ideal, whether it's for NADA or any of these major conventions. Super Bowl is a sports convention for us. I very much am networking and making contacts with a lot of other sports executives. And so the fact that I can get to the NFL designated events, but also some of my key partners, it means you can service your company or industry. So a lot of people seem to just be having fun or they're just going to the game, but this is very big business. That's why the people who come to this game. And but there's special things that we come up with, our little trade secrets, where we're trying to, you know, I hear the off comments that other people just wouldn't as far as what they do like and they don't like, and we use that. And also just having that conversation with people or the family members about how much fun they had, what they enjoyed, and so I want to make sure that they remember it and that we repeat it. But it's fresh. It's always a new experience in New Orleans, and we just have a pride that none of us can take credit for the spirit of New Orleans and the people, but everyone comes up to me and will say, my taxi driver was so excited. All they talked about is how appreciative they were. And it doesn't matter if they do or don't know that it was an owner or an influencer. And the league also, in a post-Katrina world, they have prioritized our vendors in a lot of ways that a lot of magazines or publications have done, where they'll source someone who was an expert in something, but they were from New Orleans. So a lot of our production companies help out with the international game and other events. But we are very receptive and hospitable from the top down.
Thanks, Rita. Third row back.
Yes, I heard you. I'm Edwin Buttons of the New Orleans Avenue Weekly, and as somebody local, I appreciate the mayor and James encapsulating what our city is about. And ultimately, that is my question. I'm going to ask the mayor and Ms. Madeline, since she hadn't said anything in the question and answer period. With so much media attention on the city in Super Bowl week, what is it ultimately that you all would like for the people in media to go back and tell the story of New Orleans? What is the story of New Orleans?
Mayor, why don't you go first?
I think we've touched on a lot of them, but just to reiterate the discovery of our homegrown talent here, that it's part of the not just comeback, but push ahead. We are Silicon South. So I think you did cover the hackathon, where the 48 hours, these incredibly brilliant people who live and work here contributed gratis about, $300,000 worth of work coming up with these technical applications, which you can use on your Droid or any of your phones. This has never been done anywhere in the country, and they're scaling them up to be used not just for sporting events, but today Mark wanted us to talk about, and I would like to, since you brought this up, if Mark wants to elaborate on this, today is Restaurant App Day. There's all kinds of apps that are newly created, which in and of themselves could become another business. So going to the mayor's point about we were at the bottom of every list, now we're at the top of number one startups, number one entrepreneurs, number one performance in education. That's a big deal if you're living and working, not it's obviously a big deal if you're living and working here, but for the rest of the nation to we want to be a model. We want cities to revitalize. We want to share our knowledge. And I'm excited about everything, but the Silicon South thing is akin to becoming Hollywood South, in that you could see how that creates a whole infrastructure of not just jobs, but it's a brain game. We are the number one brain game, but it contributes to this, my husband likes to talk about the culture, it contributes to this creative, energetic, spirited culture. So if you haven't felt it, you'll feel it, and you got it.
It's a great question. You know, this is not an original thought, since it came from, I want to say it was going to come out wrong. This is not my original thought. This came from James Carville. I was going to say this wasn't an original thought because it came from James, but that would sound like Mary. The story, obviously, in the narrow sense, is about the Super Bowl. It's a sports story. But in a broader sense, the story is really about the city of New Orleans. the city is not a bit player in this story. It is the story wrapped around the Super Bowl. In its narrowest context, we want people to hear, Rita and all the other owners, that New Orleans is the best place by far to do a Super Bowl. If we have to compete straight up, in my opinion, we will beat any other city in America any day on our ability to produce a great event. And we feel really good about that, and we want to continue to tell that story. But as you think about the story of New Orleans, all of you love to write stories about folks that were down, that got back up, they turned their lives around, and now they're doing great stuff. There is no better story than that, than the city of New Orleans, thinking about where we were at Katrina time and where we are today. And you, if you individualize that story, the only way it can collectively be true is if it's true in each and every one of its parts. And as you get around the city and you go see people like Leah Chase, or you see other examples of this, you will see a story, a great American story of resurrection and redemption. And there is no other city in America that has come from where we are and gotten to where we are as quickly and as eloquently as the city of New Orleans has. And it is a fantastic story that really speaks to the American spirit. And I think if you tell that story, by the way, you're going to fall in love with the city just because you have to. And you would have fallen in love with it had Katrina never happened. But given what the people of this city have done is, in my opinion, very magnificent, why each and every one of us is just incredibly blessed to be a part of it. And then to have, again, I've said this before, national third-party verification from people who know, Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine, saying things like New Orleans is the best place to work. Remember what people used to say was, if you want to get your party on, go down to New Orleans. They got go cups. You can stay up 24 hours. You can have the best time. And those people have fun. Well, we still do that. But this is a working event for us. And now what people are saying about us, it's the best place to work. A company called GE decided to bet on the knowledge-based economy in New Orleans, and they came down here. We're building a $2 billion medical complex to move into knowledge-based economy. The digital technology piece that Mike and his team are working on is just blowing people's minds. Hollywood South, we did $600 million worth of business last year in the film industry. We produced more major motion pictures in the city, in the state of Louisiana, than every other place in the nation except for New York and Los Angeles. That's mind-boggling. On the Silicon Valley piece and the entrepreneurship piece that Mary has talked about, that thing is really just jumping off of the pages at people. And all of those stories all fold into how in the world did they go from being 15 feet underwater and being the last to being on the top of the world and being the best? What is that story about? And I just would think about that. The people of America will be surprised, and they will be happy to learn that we actually did it, and it's not just talk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two more questions right here in the middle, sir.
On the economic impact of the Super Bowl, what you project as to the economic impact, and perhaps what you reckon you're going to get in terms of visitors coming into the city, and perhaps could you also just comment? I'd like you to compare that to the Mardi Gras week, if you could.
Okay.
The economic, we did a preliminary economic impact study during our bid phase, and so we had a lot of institutional knowledge, having done it so much, and compared to the 8 years, I guess, it had been since we had hosted it. But it's projected to be $434 million in economic impact associated with this event. And you compare that to what it was in 1997, it was $249 million in 97. In 2002, it had grown to $299 million. So in 11 years, it had grown exponentially to 434. And I think if you take a walk starting at Jackson Square, where CBS is set up with five sets, ESPN set up with three different sets from the Jacksbury parking lot, you go see Verizon Super Bowl Boulevard right behind it at Waldenburg Park, make your way over to maybe the Bud Light Hotel and the Bud Light tent in the whale lot, as we call it, along Convention Center Boulevard. And you see all the improvements to the convention center. You see the I guess it's probably about 100,000 square foot tent in the open lot, the DirecTV tent on the open lot on the other side of this facility. Mardi Gras World now on this side of the river, hosting numerous events. If you just take that mile-and-a-half stroll, you've got to recognize how much this event has grown, and it's just amazing. It's all it's all local people who are producing this. You know, you have these national companies that coming in hiring local people. So there's a huge economic impact associated with it. We have 4,000 more rooms downtown now than we had before, and one of the freshest hotel inventories in the entire nation. So we're just, again, excited to have it back again. And you know, the economic impact is important, but we think the impact of the positive exposure and these 5,200 members of the media here is even more important to us than just pure economics.
Can I add to that? If you could consider the way in which that statistic is arrived at, is it sort of a static one? And it's how many people are here and how much do they spend. But the legacy impact, as the mayor has pointed out, of our infrastructure, of our the digital, all of these things that we developed around the Super Bowl will have an economic impact in perpetuity, which is, I'm not saying this badly about any other city. You go to the Super Bowl, that doesn't mean you want to move, live, work there, visit more. It just, this is a what the impact is going to be beyond the immediate static economic impact, which is not insignificant, is, again, it's unprecedented, it's incalculable, and we don't know how to measure it yet, but we're so optimistic about it.
I was going to add that a big shift for us is the collaboration that happens between public and private organizations here. And that's something that before Katrina, there might have been some distrust and a lot of issues that we faced. And so in a post-Katrina world, we said no to corruption and issues, and then had this open receptiveness with Mitch Landrieu and also with our governor. And that was a real catalyst. And we also, Michael Hecht is here from GNO Inc. We have a variety of civic organizations where people are very methodical and about all these events. And I think it's like a body working out like an athlete. The more we put on these events, we get better. And that has been our drive and our pitch. It's part of our quality of life. But when you have these events, it's something that when we announced it on talk radio, fans were talking about, we need to improve our crosswalks. We need to make sure that thing, you know, the enhancements are made at the airport. So it really is remarkably different how it's top of mind and it's conscious, not just from a corporate executive or a political person's perspective. It really is top of mind to the regular people that live and breathe here. And that is what is making us better, is because when every member of your community is engaged and actually involved, they're getting what they want. If you're a passive member of any community and you complain about what's going on, you're not digging in and you're not making it better. So our hotels, everyone has been looking towards this milestone, and it's just another step forward in the grandeur and this amazing renaissance that we're an incredible part of.
Thank you. We've got time for one more question. Anyone else?
Mardi Gras, $238 million.
One more question. We're good? Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brett.
It's Brett with AP. Can you kind of put in perspective, I don't know if bookend is the right word, in terms of what the Super Bowl is for New Orleans recovery, maybe milestone, but it's, even though there's been a Final Four, two BCS national championships, the NFC champion, even though there's been all that, there seems to be something about the Super Bowl coming back to New Orleans that resonates with the recovery story, and I just wondered if you can kind of sum it up, wrap that up.
I'm just going to say that he might start crying if he doesn't spontaneously combust when he talks about this. So you're forewarned.
Yeah. I think the most significant regular season, maybe athletic contest ever, was played in the Superdome in September 2006. I can remember sitting watching that game in Washington and just what it meant to the city. We played that game, and Steve Gleason blocking that punt, and that the dome was back open. I don't know what the effect is going to be. I think we'll know Monday morning. You know, I think, let's wait till it's over, and we just got to work as hard as we can to give this city what it deserves and a real first-class event. And hopefully, at the conclusion of this, people will feel like that we have some closure here. We've made something, but I don't know it. I can't allow myself to think about that. But I do know that September was really a remarkable thing, and you cannot separate the Saints, the football, or anything like that from our culture. It's ingrained in it, and so let's wait and see how we feel Monday morning. We won't know till then, but let's just keep our head down and stay focused here for the rest of the time.
Thank you, James. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time this afternoon. We're downstairs ready to help you in any way possible, and we look forward to seeing you the rest of this week. Welcome back.